تعالى واتبع سبيل من أناب إليه. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected elders and brothers, the ayat which I recited now in the khutbah from Surah Luqman, wherein Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, وَاتَّبِئْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Follow the path of those who turn to me. In this dunya, we will follow someone or the other. Human nature is such that humans want to emulate, they want to follow. So if we do not follow the right people, we do not follow the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we will follow the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we follow in the footsteps of the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah protect, we may also end up in Jahannam as they will end up in Jahannam. So we are very fortunate as Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a very rich history. And there are many great luminaries of the past who we can follow and emulate. And we can learn from their lives, we can learn from their devotion and dedication that they had within them. One such luminary of his time was a personality by the name of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi was a very powerful king. His kingdom, his rule extended over thousands of miles. But eventually he came to a point in his life where he realized that he cannot get the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while he is in all that comfort and all that luxury. So he decided to abandon and leave everything for the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He left everything, he abandoned everything, he went into solitude, he went into the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates the efforts of his servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the efforts of his servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching every person, every move of his. What are his intentions? What are the motivations within his mind, within his heart? And what sacrifice he is prepared to make for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person makes sacrifice for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he leaves out something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let alone the akhirat, even in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him something much more superior and better than what he had. So Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi paid a very cheap price. He abandoned the kingdom, but he got the wilayat and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He became a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hundreds of years have passed and many other kings have come and gone and they've forgotten and no one knows about them. But the name of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi is still flying very high. We still take his name with so much of respect and we still, whenever we take his name, we say rahmatullahi alayhi and we make dua for him. So this is already a very important lesson. What legacy do we leave behind us? When we leave this dunya, what type of personality were we that people are going to speak about us after this? Remember, no one is going to speak about your clothing. No one is going to speak about what brands you wore. Nobody is going to speak about your vehicle, your car that you drove, or the home you lived in, or the holidays you went for, or the food you ate. But they will speak about your qualities. They will speak about your character. They will speak about your personality, how you made a difference in their lives, how you touched their hearts, how you assisted them, aided them, what service of humanity did you render. So we're going back to the story of Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi. Once the people asked Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi, Ma baluna nad'u wa la yustajabu lana. What is the reason we make dua and our du'as are not accepted. Although remember, for your du'as to be accepted, it doesn't necessarily have to materialize. There's different ways that your du'as can be accepted and you can see the efforts of that du'a. But the people pose this question, you may get some people who will make du'a and there will be absolutely no benefit and nothing is going to materialize, they're not going to get the rewards, they're not going to feel that serenity, that peace within them. So Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah alayhi mentioned several reasons for this. And this is something that we need to reflect over our own selves. Remember, whenever we sit in a program, then it is every person should think to himself that it is for me this program. And the speaker also needs to think to himself that he is addressing himself, not that he is addressing others. Because somehow or the other we become very concerned about other people's reformation, but we forget our own reformation. And that is a very big problem. And as long as a person is not concerned of his reformation, he's not going to change his life. There's going to be no positive changes going to come about. So the first thing he said is, لِأَنَّكُمْ عَرَفْتُمُ اللَّهِ فَلَمْ تُطِئُوا. First of all, you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you ask that person, who is Allah? I tell you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all-powerful. Allah is the almighty. Allahu Akbar, we sing every day. Allah is the greatest. But you don't obey Him. If you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know how powerful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. You know that Allah has got the treasures of everything you desire. He has got it in His control. Whatever you want, for yourself or for your family or for your children, Allah has got it. And He can give it to you when He wants to give it to you. But you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is a very serious thing. You know Him. You speak about Him. Sometimes you can speak about His greatness too. But you don't obey Him. The second thing He said, وَعَرَفْتُمُ الرَّسُولِ فَلَمْ تَتَّبِعُوا سُنَّتَهُ. You recognize Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will speak great about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You will sing ashar and poetry. You will listen to ashar, you will listen to poetry. But you don't follow his sunnat. Imagine on one hand you're saying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so great. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the greatest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. You're saying you love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But his sunnat is not appealing to you. You're following everyone else. You're following everything else. The enemies, the kuffar, their ways, their mannerisms, their customs, their mindset, their attitude, their attire is appealing to you. But the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, what happened? If you love him, there's a very beautiful poetry of Hazrat Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, wherein he said, تَدَّعِ الْحُبَّ تَعْسِلْ إِلَهَا وَأَنْتَ تُزْهِرُ حُبَّهُ. You disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whereas you express that you love him. إِنَّ هَذَا مُحَالٌ فِي الْقِيَاسِ بَدِيعُ. This is impossible. And it is something that is obvious. That how can you love him if you disobey him? لَوْ كَانَ حُبُّكَ صَادِقًا لَأَطَعْتَهُ. If your love was true, then you would have obeyed him. إِنَّ الْمُحِبَّ لِمَنْ يُحِبُّ مُتِيعُ. The lover will always obey the beloved. Imagine whole day, you're telling your parents, your mother, your father, I love you all so much. Mother told you, son, just get me one glass of water. Sorry, ma, I got no time for that. Do this errand for me, I got no time. So you will say, this is a fake, he's a liar. How can you love your mother when you're not prepared to do anything for her? So you claiming you love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what are you doing for the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What are you doing for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What effort are you making to revive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in your life? If you love him, you will follow him. You will emulate him. Everything of him will be most beloved. Whenever you hear of a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you will think this is the most beloved. If Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did this, I want to do this. If he went down this route, I want to go down this route. You know, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. What level of emulation? Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, He's traveling once. And he stops at a certain place and he sits down to relieve himself. He tells the people after that, there was no real urge for me to relieve myself. But because I traveled with Rasulullah on this route, this is where he stopped. I stopped here also to relieve myself. To emulate and follow every single thing of Rasulullah, every single aspect. If he did it, I want to do it. If that was his lifestyle, that has to be my lifestyle. If this was in his home, it must be in my home. If it was in his children, it must be in my children. So this is the second thing Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi alayhi mentioned, that araftumur rasul falam tattabi'u sunnatah. You recognize Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but you never followed his sunnah. Wa araftumul quran falam ta'malu bi. The third thing, you recognize the Quran Sharif. You spoke about the Quran Sharif. Sometimes we are telling non-Muslims, you know, we got the Quran. The Quran has not been altered. Over 1400 years has passed. Not one dot has changed in the Quran Sharif. Small, small children are memorizing the Quran. But you did not practice on the Quran. You knew the Quran Sharif. Not like you didn't know. You knew very well that this is the Quran. You knew that this is the book Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down for guidance. But you did not practice on it. Nor did you even bother to understand the message. Who's worried? What the Quran is saying now? So you, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala don't move your heart. Nothing that touches you. But you want Allah to help you. You want Allah to accept your du'as. How's going to accept your du'as? You have to have some level of loyalty. There has to be some sacrifice from our side. So that's the third thing. Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi alayhi says. Then he says the fourth thing. Wa akaltu ni'ma Allah falam tu'addu shukraha. You ate and enjoyed the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but you did not fulfill the shukr of it. Just take one meal, for example. Person is enjoying a meal, sumptuous meal, delicious meal. How many ni'mats in that one meal? Just think about it. Just if you look at the ingredients that was used, from how many different parts of the world that ingredients came, for you and me to enjoy that meal, how many people will even say, Alhamdulillah, from the bottom of the heart, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was so kind to me, I wasn't deserving of this. So you ate and enjoyed the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَمْ تُعَدُّ شُكْرَهَا. You did not fulfill the shukr of it. You ate the meal, you got energy. How much are you using that energy for Allah's ibadat? How much are you using it for Allah's obedience? Or you're using it in everything else? You're using it in futile activities. You're wasting your time, you're whiling your time. You can spend hours on anything else. How much of time did you spend in remembering Allah? How much of time did you spend in ibadat? How much of time can you spend in tilawat? So that he says is the fourth thing. Wa akaltum ni'ma Allah falam tu'addu shukraha. Then he says the fifth thing is wa araftumul jannah falam tatlubuha. You know very well about jannat. All the time you hear about jannat, but you don't seek for jannat. You don't look for jannat. Maybe the most is you saying it, you want jannat. Jannat is not a route. For you to get to jannat, you have to follow the route that takes you to jannat. Jannat is not a lucky packet. Yes, ultimately it's Allah's fazl and grace that is going to come. Without that, nothing is going to happen. But you have to follow the route. This is the route that takes you to jannat. Now you're following the route that takes you to jahannam, and you think you're going to end up in jannat. A man is, he needs to get to the south coast, but he's traveling in the north. You tell him, you know what, brother, you need to get to the south coast. You're on the wrong route. Tell you, Malala, please don't judge me. Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Hey, we all know Allah is Ghafoorur Rahim. Who doesn't know that? You got to follow the route. What did Nabi Sassam come to the dunya for? If anyone could just do anything haphazardly, and they could do what they want to do, and expect to end up in Jannah, how is that going to happen? But that's unfortunately
the level of ignorance now. So even correcting people becomes very, very difficult because they think you're judging them. It's not a thing about judging. It's a thing about learning and rectifying ourselves. And anyone can be corrected. And anyone can learn. And as senior as you may be, someone can tell you something, you know what, maybe this is wrong what you're doing, do it this way, and you should actually appreciate it, that the person was concerned, and he rectified you, and he corrected you. So inshallah, you can do the right thing. So he says, this is the fifth thing, that وَعَرَفْتُمُ الْجَنَّةِ فَلَمْ تَتْلُبُهَا. You know about Jannah, but you never seek for Jannah. وَعَرَفْتُمُ النَّارِ فَلَمْ تَهْرُبُوا مِنْهَا. Then, the sixth thing, you know about Jahannam, but you do not flee and run away from it. You know Jahannam is such a bad place. Let me find out all those things that will take me to Jahannam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, you'll do this here, you'll go to Jahannam. You'll do that sin, you'll get punished. He warned you. These are all the things that are going to take you to Jahannam. So you're supposed to run away from those things. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا. Don't go close to zina. Stay away from stealing, from robbing. Stay away from ghibat, from backbiting. So many different things to save you from Jahannam. So وَعَرَفْتُمُ النَّارِ فَلَمْ تَهْرُبُوا مِنْهَا. You recognize Jahannam, but you never ran away from Jahannam. Then the seventh thing, وَعَرَفْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَلَمْ تُحَارِبُوهُ وَوَافَقْتُمُوهُ. You know about shaitan. You know shaitan is working very hard. Shaitan is not alone. You know, some people think Iblis one man. He's got a whole huge network. His network is very, very vast. He's got countless soldiers working for him. Around the clock they're working. Working very hard to misguide you and misguide me and misguide our children. So you know about shaitan, but you never waged war with him. Rather you agreed with shaitan. When shaitan and the agents of shaitan told you something, the kuffar told you, you said, no, that's right. They got a point. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you something, no, that's, maybe it's got some other meaning. Conveniently, reinterpret it. Change it now, different version. Yeah, you went by the book. So you knew shaitan very well. But فَلَمْ تُحَارِبُوهُ وَوَافَقْتُمُوهُ. You did not wage war. You were supposed to say, no, this is shaitan. This is the agents of shaitan. I need to be very careful. I need to watch out. These people are going to mislead me. What is shaitan's work? Shaitan's work is to take you to Jahannam. Follow him, listen to him, obey him, and you're going straight to Jahannam. That's his work. Quran Sharif is telling you. Who's going to follow shaitan? That's where they're going. So you knew about shaitan, but you never opposed him. Rather, you had conformed to what he told you to do. You agreed to do what he wanted you to do. So that's the seventh thing. Then the eighth and ninth. عَرَفْتُمُ الْمَوْتِ فَلَمْ تَسْتَعِدُّوا لَهُ وَعَرَفْتُمُ الْأَمْوَاتِ فَلَمْ تَعْتَبِرُوا. You knew about death, but you made no preparation for it. Everything else you're making preparation for. You're undergoing a journey. What I need to take along on this journey. You're preparing yourself very well. You know exactly what you need to take, what you're not supposed to be taking. But this journey of the akhirat, this journey when you go into the qabr, what plan do you have in place for that journey? Someone got so many thousand khatams. Someone got so many million times Durood Sharif. Someone gave so much of sadaqah. Someone read so many hundreds of thousands of rakats of namaz. They prepared themselves. So you knew about that, but you never prepared. And you knew about people who passed away. Till now, everyone here in this gathering will perhaps know someone who passed away. You can still picture the person in your mind. Sometimes you can still picture the way he smiled, or the way he laughed. Sometimes his voice is still ringing in your ears. But you did not take a lesson. You knew about people who died, but you never took a lesson. You still were consumed in this dunya. Everything here consumed you. And the last thing he said, the tenth thing, is وَتَرَكْتُمْ أُيُوبَكُمْ وَاشْتَغَلْتُمْ بِأُيُوبِ النَّاسِ. You have left out your own faults and you worried about people's faults. That's one of our biggest problems now. We are not concerned about our own selves. Everyone else he worried about. What he's doing, what his children are doing, what his grandchildren. Don't worry about that. Munkar, Nakir, I'm not going to ask you about that. Remember, if anything you want to worry about, just think to yourself, will Allah Ta'ala ask me about this when I pass him? Will Munkar, Nakir ask me about this in the Khabar? They're not going to ask me about it, it's not important. Yes, what they're going to ask me about? My Iman. They're going to ask me about my actions, my deeds. I'm going to be questionable for that. So focus on that. Concentrate on that. And the ulama explain, the more you look into the mirror of Tawbah, the more you will see your own faults. When you make tawbah, you cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala forgive me, Allah guide me, Allah show me the straight path. Take out time every day to cry to Allah over our weaknesses. Whoever you are, everyone has got weaknesses. Cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you reform me, change my condition. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bring about the reformation. Only Allah can bring about the change. But there has to be a desire within our hearts. We must want it. You're crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more we look into the mirror of Tawbah, the more we will see our own weaknesses, our own faults, the more we can rectify ourselves, and we must work to becoming better people every day. Remember, every day we must become a better person. In terms of our deen, in terms of our iman, in terms of our relationship with Allah, our link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our connection to the masjid, our level of ibadat, every day it must be increasing, it must go to a higher level. Inshallah, if we are cognizant of all these different aspects, as mentioned by Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adham rahmatullahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept our du'as, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with divine guidance and divine assistance. And if the whole ummah, everyone makes these positive changes, then inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send down His divine assistance for the ummah, and Allah will remove all the difficulties and hardships. May Allah grant us a true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana.